Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I'm joined by my sister, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the second season of The Way Home, which is a Hallmark Channel show. Although you had sent me an article saying it was originally going to be a Netflix show.
Yeah, which I find fascinating, and it kind of explains for me aspects of the show. In terms of this is way more time travel than we've ever seen anything Hallmark did. And yet, it has the family drama without going into nighttime soap opera territory, which Hallmark does so well.
It definitely has the community aspect and family aspect that's a hallmark of so many of their shows.
Yeah.
And when you say it goes beyond what a Hallmark would typically do for sci-fi, I mean, even if you broaden that to sci-fi, fantasy, etc., the only thing even remotely close to it I can think of would be the mystery movie they had with the ghost.
Yeah.
Which they did one of. And then The Good Witch, which alluded to witchcraft.
Yeah.
And once you got past really the first two or three movies of that, It was just they have intuition.
Yes. Yes.
So to have actual time travel.
I mean, we've had Christmas movies where somebody time traveled or somebody talked to a ghost.
That's true. They had a Rip Van Winkle kind of one. Mm-hmm. And a few things like that, and one or two others with the Biltmore Hotel and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's fair. But with this, not only do we get the time travel happening, we get a fair amount of it. We get a little bit of discussion of theories of time travel mm-hmm. and stuff in passing. Not like in a Star Trek kind of a way, but, you know, it's Hallmark Channel. But there's even period piece aspects this season in the 1800s.
Yeah.
With the wardrobe, with the horses, the boat, the lighthouse, the whole Port Haven or whatever at that point in time. That's the kind of stuff that takes a little more effort than let's just go find a suburban street and go camp out there for a week as we do a Christmas movie or something.
Well, and I mean, Hallmark has When Calls the Heart, which is set
That's period piece of not quite that era, but roughly.
Yeah. I mean, it's set when cars first came onto the streets.
So, like, 1900s versus 1800s.
Right. So, right around 1900 in terms of, like, there's a car, everybody else's horse and buggy. You know, and that's shot over near Vancouver. And this was shot near Toronto. So, It's not like they're using interchangeable sets or anything. But Hallmark does have the experience with, okay, we're going to do a period piece.
That's fair. I don't watch that show, so I've not been thinking about that.
Well, and that one is light, bright, and I don't just mean in terms of the visuals. I mean...
Lighter tone, though.
Yeah, but it's almost young adult fiction. I'm trying to think how to describe it. There was a series of books at one point, and I don't mean the books it's based off of, which is separate, but there was a series of books aimed at girls that was kind of a... Everything's going to come out positive in the end, but you're going to learn a little lesson. Mm-hmm. And because When Calls the Heart centers on a teacher and you've got the classroom of kids, you often have that feeling at the end of the episodes. And then Pascal Hutton, who's been in a lot of the Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
She came onto the show probably around the second season as an actress who wasn't getting work. So she chased after an old boyfriend. And she's just Miss Bubbly and Miss Energy and Miss Too Big for the Environment. So they've got that whole light and bright aspect. Whereas with The Way Home, not only was it visually darker, but storyline, I mean, you're dealing with grief in almost every time frame.
Grief, heartbreak.
Loss.
Loss. And the writing on this, I almost want to say it's all over the board, but I don't mean it in a bad way. Mm-hmm. It's got everything from the teen love type moments to the heart-wrenching, you know, somebody's died and the loss, the grief, all of that stuff. And for all the stuff I've watched on Hallmark, this leans the heaviest into that area.
Yeah.
But in a well-done way.
Well, and that's where I go back to, they didn't cross into that nighttime soap opera territory.
Yeah.
Where you just want to kind of smack your head and go, oh my God, again? Or the, oh, of course, we have the character who sleeps with every person in town. We came close. We had the new guy in town who went on.
We had his women as he was sampling, yeah.
Yeah, he went on a lot of first dates. But even that, they played more for the humor of gossip in town. And I half expected him to have a line of, I didn't actually go out with her, but I think she felt a little left out. And she went ahead and fed the gossip mill that we had.
Yeah, that's funny. And I can see one or two of the characters doing exactly that. Because they've built up a lot of this town.
Mm-hmm.
Of kind of the core people. And some of them we just kind of hear about, but takes on a life of their own. I mean, Wally's chips or whatever gets mentioned a few times. And then we see the truck. We know about the family. And
yeah.
There's a lot going on. And they've clearly, in the writer's room, not only thought this through, but I think mapped out how some of these founding families founded Port Haven that were in the 1800s, some of which we're seeing, some of which we're getting alluded to, where everything is at in the current day, where it's at when those current day people were teenagers.
Yes.
And it looks like a generation or two later, potentially, because we've got one character,
mm-hmm.
Casey the intern, that I'm pretty sure is somebody's daughter.
Yeah.
Having traveled back.
Yeah.
I'm just unclear if it's Kat's or if it's Alice's.
Yeah.
Or somebody else. But it feels like it has to be Alice's. And she's at that point of kind of realizing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that they left open going into a third season. Because, I mean, I was afraid when we started the season, because the first had started and ended on a framing sequence that turned out to be Kat in 1800. That we would start there, we'd get something at the end, and that would be kind of the big picture tease every season or whatever. They'd progress that a little, mm-hmm. whatever. They dived heavy into the 1800s this time.
Yeah.
We get a clear resolution on what had happened to Jacob.
Yes.
Complete with, I thought they'd kind of finished it off with the penultimate episode of the season. And then in the ultimate, they spin that on a dime.
Yeah.
And end on a very open note.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end with a, they're going to walk through a door and things change.
Yes, things have to change by walking through the door.
Exactly. They can't not. And that has to be addressed next season.
Yeah.
Whether it's right on the heels or jumping forward, don't know. But they had so much ground they covered with all of the stuff going on in the 1800s, the stuff going on in the present day. Do they keep the farm? Do they lose the farm? And we still got stuff from Kat and Elliot's childhood, mm-hmm. or actually at this point they're in college or whatever.
Yeah, we had 1999 through to 2008.
Yeah, they covered a lot of ground there.
Yeah. Well, and going back to how much thought had the writer's room put into it, in season one, we had, you know, the local town legend of the White Witch. And in season two, we discovered how the White Witch legend came to be.
Well, not only did we see it come to be.
Yeah.
We then get the payoff because there was a line at one point, there's a, let's go do the ghost hunting. Or
the, you know, local ghost tour. The
local ghost tour. That's it. And Kat is a little, you know, upset that taking my name in vain kind of thing, which yes. Elliot's, wait, what?
Yes.
So yeah, I was the White Witch. Here's what happened.
You know? I was not an old crone.
Yeah. These things are false or whatever.
Yes.
But then when that story plays out a little further in the final episode.
Oh, it was beautiful because the whole time as we're building up to that, I'm thinking about what we've seen happen at the lighthouse up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking we've already seen the explanation for that. When she suddenly says, but what if? I'm like, ah. Oh.
We're thinking it's Jacob. And yeah. It turns out, no, maybe it's somebody else.
Yeah.
Then we get the moment of, oh, well, and that's how that storyline ends, only to find out with a spin at the end of, well, it didn't.
Yeah.
And we get a painting introduced early on showing Kat had gone to the 1800s before she had.
Uh-huh.
Who did the painting? We get a tease for who it could be, and then it turns out, wait, it was somebody else. I mean, there's a lot of things spinning.
Yeah.
So if in a third season we don't go back to the 1800s, I would be very surprised.
I feel we have to.
And I think we also have to go back to right around the 2000s era, because there's one knight we have seen at least three times.
Well, and we've now got a new perspective on it.
Yes.
Or we've got a shadow that cleared into a new perspective, potentially.
We've got the Landry family and Elliot in that time frame,
mm-hmm.
celebrating the start of summer or whatever. We pull back near the end, and we see two people watching that.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end, we pull further back and see somebody watching those two watching.
Yeah.
And
we got to see who that someone was.
Yes. He'd been hinted at before.
Yeah.
We had a theory, but now the question is, when was that somebody doing all of that? And I think it leads into the scene we got first season of, give me a little more time and I can explain everything.
Yes.
So I think we've got a lot more we need to do with all of that to kind of set some stuff up.
And I think he was limping, though.
Maybe.
So now, I mean, we've been raving, and I totally am on that, but it's not a perfect show, and no show is. And there were a few things during the season that just grated out. Elliot Augustine descends from one of the founding families. The only Augustine family member we saw was a female.
Who, as far as we know, never married and never had kids.
Yes.
A little bit of a problem there, yes.
Yes. And we have a key that apparently Jacob found and photographed when he was a kid.
Yeah, this is a key that most of the time travel is a research and do it kind of a thing. It happened because it happened. Jacob wound up with a key that Kat takes into the past, uses to rescue him, drops the key, which is where he as a child had found it. Nobody ever made the key.
Yeah. Well, and there was barely any dirt on it when he found it. I mean, it was like mostly exposed. And it had been there 200 years.
I took it as the dirt had gotten kicked on and off it kind of a thing, but you would think somebody would have noticed.
It just, you know. So there were a few little things where I'm like, the writers have so much they're doing that a few things are going to slip through. But I guess what gets me is there are things that I notice as they're slipping through.
The key was the big thing for me. That's a definite paradox.
The no male Augustines was, I mean, Susanna didn't even mention a family. Well, she mentioned her father who had died.
Yeah.
But didn't mention brothers, uncles, anything.
There is other family members. And presumably the book she wrote of the true history of Port Haven, written at the time, could shed a lot of light on that.
Yes. Yes.
So I expect that book to be a major part of third season.
Well, it darn well better be, because Kat told people she was writing a book.
And just happened to be the book that she's been given.
Yes, well, you know. And I gotta say, they had some really nice, it looks like a kid put it together, about the newspaper.
Yes. I love the, we'll take care of that, and those people have no idea how to do. And there seemed to be zero fallout from publishing the Founders Day edition of the now weekly paper as an amateur hour production.
Yeah.
And nothing.
Well, I mean, we brushed off camera the previous editor of the paper last season. He was almost a love interest for Dell, and then...
Then when that didn't pan out, he skipped town.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, so now Kat, 7 months later, has magically taken it over. She's the editor. The paper is her life until that bad edition comes out, and then the paper office is only there for research purposes.
No, paper office is there so she can have an intern.
That too.
That's the only purpose it served, and the intern was who provided the book of who all had been executed back in the early days of Port Haven.
Yes.
And that was, again, something so we could go back and use that for that time travel to the 1800s, all of that. And I get there's a need to set certain parts up because you know you're going to need the book so you mm-hmm. can get to the reveal, you know, yada yada. I guess the part that bothered me with that was not that this weekly newspaper is used as nothing but an excuse for why Kat's not home, even though she's not at the paper, but the flimsy excuse and the out of nowhere intern that I felt was fairly transparently set up.
Yeah.
Because I had thought it'd be cool to see the, instead of somebody from present going into the past, seeing the present day side of somebody from the future coming into the past.
Yeah.
And then when we got that, it's like, okay, that makes sense as to who it's going to be, because there's nothing to back up her story on anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect we need to get at least an episode of that person's traveling in time and explaining some of the things we saw this season.
Yes. Yes. And are they lying about their last name?
How could they be is the thing.
Yeah. But we haven't seen any living members of that family currently living in 2024.
I think they're lying about the last name. The problem is, having publicly presented the check, having done the bit with the paperwork at the end.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that it's like, how did they finagle that?
Well, and was the publicly presenting the check in the botched newspaper, which I kind of thought it was. I thought it made the front page of the paper.
I thought so, but the front page was so bad it was hard to tell.
Yeah, which was entertaining.
Yeah. Well, and we also this season had the people who know about time travel open up a little bit when Nick finds out.
Yes. Poor Nick. I felt bad for him.
I thought there was some decent payoff with that. There was one or two conversations I expected to happen, like, why didn't you show up at the Roxy?
Yeah.
And a few things like that. And we called it with his mom's. He needed to come back, but his moms were never seen this season.
Yeah.
Mentioned a time or two, and that's all we need.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm expecting him to show back next season a time or two, not as a regular.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect, obviously, the three Landry women. We've got to have Brody showing up on a recurring basis.
Brady.
Yeah, Brady, sorry.
Brady was poorly used this season in every time frame.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, really, at one point, the only reason he got away with what happened is because Kat sustained a head injury.
Yeah.
He'd have had a lot of explaining to do if she had not sustained that head injury.
Well, and that was a way to excuse the, we said Alice never went back, but she did.
Yeah.
And we also got the answer, I think Elliot used a time or two, well, I lied.
Yes, yes.
So.
Well, and Elliot flat out tells Alice at one point, basically a, please don't hate me for what you're about to discover, because I know you're headed to the pond.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's got to be a sense of dread for the person who knows the time traveler and is now on the flip side of the equation of having met them as a child when they're coming back, learning about your future, and now knowing
mm-hmm.
what they're going to learn the next time or one of the next times they go back.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of power there, and I think they get a lot out of it. But Alice and Elliot's relationship spins on a dime a number of times over the season.
It was all over the board this season. I mean, this is a series you have to watch all the episodes in order. If you missed an episode or two or were skipping around, I think you would be massively confused.
This is another one where I think it would be interesting, although probably incomprehensible, to watch in chronological order of the timeline,
mm-hmm.
not of the time travelers.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, a chronological order of the timeline would theoretically give you Elliot's feeling, Elliot's experience.
Well, sort of.
Up until the one time he travels, and theoretically he'll travel again. He travels
this time, which is interesting. And the justification for why he could and this time, but not others, was good. But there's one or two scenes where when you see it in a chronological fashion, because we go back to a couple of scenes a few times
mm-hmm.
and learn a little more, see a different perspective, or have a different understanding, how they would condense that down and do kind of that pullout or whatever
yeah.
would be interesting. And if you were to watch it that way, because time would elapse from Alice the time traveler to Alice the daughter,
yeah,
you know, how would that play out?
That would be kind of wild.
This is the kind of show where I think it would be fascinating to see a version that was filmed in a universe that either had time travel
mm-hmm.
or cloning.
Yes, yes.
To where you could see the same person play the younger and older versions.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a couple, it's like, yeah, do they really grow up looking that different? I don't know. But I was amazed how much time they covered in the young Kat, young Elliot time frame.
Yeah.
Because they covered a decade.
Yeah.
And they didn't age that much over that decade versus the decade after it to where we get to now.
Yeah. Decade and a half, but yeah.
Yeah. But that's one of those things that the actors are their ages.
Yeah, and there's only so much you can do with makeup.
Only so much you can do for makeup. There's a lot they did, I think, some with the body language.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, I think there were some very interesting choices that were fairly effective when they would cut from one time frame to another. Somebody's about to go into a door. Somebody's starting to serve tea and we sit down to tea.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see the parallel events across time in a way that made sense and it worked. We've seen a few other shows where some of the cuts are, that was just confusing.
Yes.
These, I felt, I mean, it takes a second. Oh, wait, we changed times. But it made sense and I saw the segue.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they've got a good production crew, certainly good writing, great actors.
Yeah.
And I think what I appreciate the most is they clearly spent the time up front building out a plan, a timeline, and a community and rules for the pond.
Yeah.
So I expect this to hold together over the course of the series, whereas like Lost its way third season or so.
I think one of the great strengths of the show is that they cast Kyler Lee as Cap. You've got somebody who did Grey's Anatomy.
I was going to say, she's been on some major shows, Grey's Anatomy and Supergirl.
And really pulling just from those two experiences.
Mm-hmm.
She's got the drama, especially the family drama. She was the half-sister of
Meredith Grey.
Yeah. You know, and then...
Well, and kind of sort of not the half-sister, but the foster sister, whatever, of Supergirl. So
yes.
She's done the family stuff.
Yeah. And Supergirl, she's also had to sell the, you may not believe it, you may think it's impossible, but here we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sci-fi aspect she's got experience with through there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there was time travel in Supergirl, too. So, well, and also I think Andy McDowell, having done so much with Hallmark, with Cedar mm-hmm. Cove and stuff mm-hmm. like that, brought a lot of that sensibility into it.
You know, and it's funny because I really enjoyed Cedar Cove. And part of what I loved in Cedar Cove and part of how I got you to watch Cedar mm-hmm. Cove was the casting on that one. That was almost a who's who of genre TV playing normal roles.
Yeah. We had everyone from Bruce Boxleitner from Scarecrow, Mrs. King, and of course, Babylon 5. The lead on the show, he was from Legends of the Ranger.
Yeah.
Dylan Neal.
Yes.
He was also in Hyperion Bay, which was a short-lived show on CW or one of those types of channels. There was the one who played Dr. Frazier from Stargate, SG-1. There was one or two people from Stargate Universe. One of the guys who was in Arctic Air and also a few episodes of Once Upon a Time. But there were just, again, some of the stuff when you're filming up in Canada, there's a very rich talent pool
mm-hmm.
that's big enough they've gotten a lot of people to draw from, but also small enough that you see a lot of familiar faces.
Yeah.
And some of them are just really good.
Yeah.
So I think whoever does the casting for the various Hallmark stuff
mm-hmm.
does well and is able to pull the right people at the right times for the right roles.
Now, and Cedar Cove, definitely, and I would love to see some of the people from Cedar Cove actually come onto The Way Home. Because, first of all, I love the casting there, but second of all, that show had that community that The Way Home is starting to build, but it's very small.
Mm-hmm.
They've got kind of the tight-knit cliques from the community. And The Way Home also seems to send Spencer off to cooking school because we're kind of done with him and we don't know who he's dating at the moment.
Yeah, there were a few things where certain characters this season vanished between first and second season. A few get used here and then suddenly where the hell did they go? We don't see them for the last three or four episodes or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And part of it is when you've got a bigger and bigger ensemble you've built up.
Yeah.
Because again, we've got three time frames we're splitting across.
Yes.
You've got a little bit more scheduling constraints, a little bit more budget constraints in terms of we can't bring everybody every time.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the character they brought in this time, Sam Bishop, as the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
The reason he intrigues me is because, I want to say in the final episode, there was one reaction shot where he was looking at those coins.
Yes. Something was up with that.
Yeah.
I read that as, where did you find them?
Mm-hmm. There's something there.
Yeah, because he moved in during the season and such.
Early in the season.
Early, yeah.
His moving in is why Alice canceled plans to go home to Minneapolis. She was convinced his moving in next door meant they were going to lose the farm.
Yeah. Well, and that was a plot line that was very big until it was gone.
Oh.
And there were enough plot lines going on that I expect some of that to happen.
But that was so irritating. And they got the teenage both angst and overreaction.
Well, just I also like beautiful. The town overreaction. Yes. Suddenly the food train started and
yes.
The lasagnas and casseroles are showing up. So
yeah,
it's a fun show and it's hard enough for a writing team to build up a community,
mm-hmm.
but to do it across a generation or two currently and then going back to the 1800s
yeah.
is fairly impressive. And it is very much a family-based show, both in terms of the immediate family, but also the generational aspect of the family.
Mm-hmm.
It's using the time travel as much as a vehicle as anything else, but it doesn't gloss over the plot sci-fi aspects of it.
Well, and as much as I was bemoaning the key, the time travel isn't the quick answer. You can't take antibiotics back in time to before yes. they were invented.
I still would have liked a scene where Kat was explaining the key stuff to Elliot, and Elliot would get all hung up on,
yes, yes.
Wait, but who made the key?
Yes.
That's not important, but who made the key? Yeah. That should have happened.
Yeah.
And for all of his, you shouldn't time travel, it's bad, it's wrong, or whatever, when he gets the chance at the end, it was a very satisfying sequence of events for him and for us to watch him go through.
What got me was how irate he was with Kat for being honest with his ancestor.
Well.
Or his
yeah.
family member in the past, whoever she is.
He still feels his life has fundamentally changed because of all of this.
Yes.
And I get the frustration and the thinking he was special because he was in the know. And then you're telling everybody?
Well, but it seemed to be more of a, you ruined my life by telling me the future. And now you've gone and ruined her life too. Did you learn nothing from how you ruined my life? Couldn't you have picked a different way to ruin her life?
Yeah, there is an aspect of, do you ever listen to me?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what were we saying?
Yeah, I know. Again, the relationship between Elliot and Kat spins on a dime as well, too.
It does.
So, I am enjoying the show. It's a very easy watch.
Yes.
I mean, these are hour-long show minus commercials, so what, 42-ish minutes or something? And it's easy to go from one to another to another to another in rapid succession.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the sign of good television. Of when I finish an episode, I want to watch the next.
Yes. I think Chris Holden Reed as Thomas Cowley was mm-hmm. my favorite character this season.
Yes. Well, and again, you had pointed out early on that his last name is on a sticker on Colton's guitar.
Yes.
And we still need to understand his family tree as to how that came to be and what was the sticker for.
Yeah. Some aspect of the founding families, some local... something, some local restaurant, some local something.
I half expect, we got to go back to the 1800s.
Yeah, I feel we do.
The end of the season made that clear on a couple of counts. Mm-hmm. I think we need to go back another generation, I'm going to say present day, but to Colton's younger years.
Oh, when Colton and Dell got together.
Colton and Dell got together, possibly even before that, his high school era or something.
I would be fascinated to know what went wrong with Dell's family.
What went wrong with Dell's family? How did Colton get the guitar?
Mm-hmm.
How did he get where he got?
Mm-hmm.
And some stuff like that. I think there's a lot more to explore there. And I'm curious what angles they're going to try to cover things from.
Yeah.
And it sounded like they had a 5-year plan when this was starting out on Netflix and stuff. I think Hallmark is backing the show very heavily.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they did a lot during their Christmas stuff leading into, hey, you've got to watch this, and it seems to be paying off for them.
Yeah.
And I think that's good because I think it really opens up the types of shows they can and will do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious what they're going to try to cover in a third, fourth, and fifth season. And if they left enough closed at the end of a fifth, it's satisfying and enough open that if they wanted to go further, they could.
Both that and could they do some TV movies? I mean, let's look at the cast in terms of, like, Andie MacDowell seems to be loving doing a series, but she's at that upper age spectrum of does she want to keep doing season after season?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they could put together some really good TV movies.
Yeah. Well, and they've had a few other things on Hallmark that have bounced between TV movies and series.
Mm-hmm. Well, The Good Witch did great with their once-a-year movie and a season.
Well, they started as the once-a-year movies, did the seasons with the once-a-year movie type thing interspersed. I've been expecting them to go back to the movie format, and they haven't. And I think pandemic, strikes, etc. put a bump in the road there, but I would like to see them get that going again. And the other one that started as a TV movie, did a season, and then went back to TV movies was Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
Which has gotten something more. I don't know if it's another movie or what, but I heard it'll be back on.
Yeah. I think over the last few years, Hallmark has kind of faltered a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They had a number of recurring mystery movies that were enjoyable. Some of those are just going to play out over time, but they had a couple that were just cut off at the knees, it felt like.
Yeah.
One or two of which I think made a very bad writing decision in the last movie they aired.
Yeah.
And it's like, you kind of botched it. One or two of which changed names and came back slightly different. And I think they've lost their way and they're back to feeling their way out on some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been doing serialized murder mystery type movies as far back as, I want to say, Mystery Woman, if not further back.
Mm-hmm.
Forget if McBride was a
McBride Hallmark. Was Hallmark, yeah.
So they've done these for decades. And they go through periods where they get a really good sequence of things and a few is not so much. And I hope this is a sign of them coming out of that funk they've been in, can get some good TV series going, get some good mystery movies and stuff, because they've got the ability to produce good stuff.
Yes.
They've got good, wholesome family values. And I think this has an emotional core with The Way Home that so many other shows, for me at least, lack.
Yeah.
That I at least feel for these characters.
Yes.
And it's funny because, again, I mentioned this when we talked about the first episode. So many of the Hallmark movies are two people who've lost their previous spouses and stuff, find their way together and live happily ever after.
Yeah.
But there's no sense of loss, no sense of pain, no sense of guilt necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming at the loss of a child, the loss of a parent, the disintegration of a family, the longing for the family you never had, but lived next door kind of a thing.
Yes. Well, and one of the things I loved about Alice this season, and really it played out over both seasons with the I can fix this.
Mm-hmm.
But Alice this season was very much a, if I know what went wrong, you know, where the communication broke down.
Yeah.
I can help them communicate. And when she got to the ultimate, oh, I understand. She didn't fall back on time travel. She still wanted to fix it.
What got me is she fixed it much further than I thought she was going to be allowed to do in series television.
Yes, there is that.
But it also then turned out to be, with that spinning on a dime after that, it had to get to that point to where everything is good so it can be broken again.
Yeah, there. Yeah, that's one of the laws of television.
Because I think once they walk through that door, there's going to be a discussion. It's not going to be believed.
Well, there's going to be a, you've been lying to me.
How can this be? What do I not know? The betrayal aspect.
Yes. Yes.
All of that.
Yeah.
And how do they pick up the pieces on that and so forth? That's how I expect it to go. Mm. We'll find out where they go. But to me, that's something that the first episode next season just has to deal with where things left off.
Yeah.
And a few of the things they planted this season, we need to get more on. So I'm anxiously awaiting a third season.
Me too.
And if they can keep up the quality for the totality of the series, I think that'd be great. These things are 10 episode seasons.
Yeah.
They are not a serious time investment. I find them very watchable. Like I said, just go episode to episode to episode if you want to, or watch one, come back in a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something where you've got to be taking notes as you go.
No, but it does get the mind going on the, I wonder about this, or I wonder about that, which I like.
It's got little mysteries, a lot of things to kind of follow along, and if you're not loving one character's arc or whatever, there's two or three others to be following as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not fighting for attention, they're complementary and gives good things to cut away from to give you time to digest what you've seen. So definitely enjoying it. Recommend it.
Me too.
Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.